you know, it's so funny. Because I kind of preached half my message last week, this week. So I kind of had to prepare again. And so I was asking some friends and some family, like, what was your take home from last week? Because this is, if you're new here today, this is the second part of our series on stories. And so I was kind of asking, what is your take home? And I got, your mom's yellow tracksuit. You had a wicked fringe. I was like, oh, I see. Okay. Anything else? I had so many people pretending to be God and asking me to go get them a drink. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's all in the message last week, and so I encourage you to go and listen to it. Honestly, but you know, everything that people said to me about what they remembered, they were all wrapped up in the story. And so that, for me, just illustrates the point that stories are powerful. They shape culture, they shape beliefs, and they shape generation from one generation to another. Last week, we spoke about the art of mastering storytelling, that we all breathe, but some of us breathe better than others, and so we need to master the art in telling a story. And this is a growing conversation. This is our story. I don't know if you've ever fallen asleep halfway through a film. Okay, can I just say this is my husband's party trick? So he'll choose the movie. I don't really want to watch it, okay, but he's chosen it, so we're going to watch it. 10 minutes into the film, he's asleep, and I'm watching the film I didn't even want to watch. And then 5 minutes towards the end, I don't know what it is, he miraculously wakes up and then says to me, "So, honey, what's happening?" I'm like, are you kidding? Like, are you seriously? Are you kidding me? We're watching this film. 5 minutes to the end. Now you want to know what's going on. Who's he? Who's she? Why are we here? I'm like, I ask myself that question all the time, honey. I just don't get it. So I'm like, okay. And you know what? I think sometimes if we, for whatever reason, can't make it to a gathering and we miss a talk, we miss being here, we actually miss some of the conversation. And some of us can look around and go, I've never seen, who's she? Who's he? What are we doing this for? And I can't encourage you enough, if you are new, or you've just joined us halfway through this year, or you've been away for whatever reason, go onto our website and listen to the talks right from the beginning, because this is a growing conversation. This is our story. So in the beginning of the year, Dave Balfield, our senior leader, spoke about count the stars. We're going on a God adventure. Then we spoke about traveling light. If we're going to travel on this adventure, how are we going to travel well? Some things we need to carry, some things we need to cling to, some things we need to let go of. We spoke about how do we travel well. Then we talked about, okay, we're going on this God adventure, we're traveling well, what are we traveling from and what are we traveling towards? And we spoke about towards the butterfly. Now, we spoke about that not because the Balfield family absolutely love the Caterpillar, your book, and it's everywhere. In fact, we had a whole group of Czech Republic churches come here, and we gave them the Caterpillar book. No, we didn't do that because we do love the story, but we did that because this is a conversation that we're going on an adventure. We're traveling well from the caterpillar to the butterfly, from things as they were to things how they're going to be. This is a growing conversation. And if you miss something, you're going to be like, how did we get here? What are we talking about? You know, I was thinking about a group of people, the people of God, of the Israelites. They were traveling from what was. They were traveling from Egypt to the promised land. They too were going on adventure. And I wanted to know, the chatter matters. What are you chatting about as you go from one and you're transitioning to the other? What are you talking about? They started to moan. So they got to the sea. I love this. If you read the book of Exodus, which is in the Bible, it will tell you about God's people. I'm so thankful that his love is relentless, that it isn't kind of based on how we feel. It's just a condition. He loves us. And so they start chatting, and like they get to the Red Sea, and they're there, and they're like, oh, you know, the Egyptians are coming for us. And they were like, this is what they said in Exodus 14. They said, did Egypt run out of graves that we have to die here in the wilderness? I mean, there's, you know, that's a little, okay. And so Moses goes and speaks to God, and God parts the Red Sea, and they cross on dry land. So that's Exodus 14. Exodus 15, oh, we're so thirsty, and the water here is bitter. And they moan to Moses. And they're like, oh, Moses goes and tells God, look, okay, the people are moaning, the water's bitter. God speaks to Moses, this is Exodus 15, and he says, cast the tree into the water, and the waters go from bitter to sweet. Okay, guess what? Exodus 16. Oh my God, I'm so hungry. We should have remained slaves. Honestly, we should have remained slaves because at least then we ate. Oh, I'm starving in the wilderness. Aren't we so dramatic as people? Anyway, at least maybe just me. Okay, he's starving. And then he goes, okay, goes and tells God. And God goes, okay, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. I just wonder, you know, we talk about adventure. That doesn't mean it's just going to be, woohoo, great. Adventure, actually the best adventures have this moment where you're pressed. Best adventures have bitter and sweet in them. But you know what? I wonder what your report will be. Because when they get to the promised land, they are sent out and a report comes back. And I wonder if your report will be the faithfulness that you have in God's promise or whether your report will contain the fear in the problem. And I want to encourage us to have, because we all have bitter and sweet moments. And I'm not here to tell you this adventure is just going to be all sweet. No, it's not. They're going to be bitter and they're going to be sweet. But what will your report be? Will your report be a sweet report that is filled with the faithfulness in God's promise? And so it's so important what you talk about as we move on this journey. And so we're going to unpack a little bit this morning about how do we share stories. And so I'm going to show you a video right now. This video is actually of my son. And he got a 3D printer. And the reason I'm sharing this story is because it illustrates my point beautifully about, you know what? Regan is part of our family. Regan's my son. And we're going on this venture together. But he could stay in his bedroom like most teenage boys like to do. And honestly, or he could go out. And I want to say, how do we share stories? It starts with going out. In Matthew 28, 19, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. In Matthew 4, 19, it says, come follow me, said Jesus, and I will send you out to fish for people. We need to, if we're going to share a story, we need to go out. Some of us need to come out of our bedrooms. Some of us need to go out of our houses. Some of us need to come out of our comfort friendship circles. Some of us need to go out. And so we're going to watch this video, but I just want you to kind of bear that in mind as we watch it. Thanks.
So I thought I'd tell you a little something about the printed calendar I've been making. So ages ago, I've been fascinated by new technologies and 3D printing, and so I actually asked for a 3D printer for my birthday. And so when I got it, I was researching stuff that you can do with a 3D printer, and I found this charity called Enable that makes prosthetic hands for people who can't afford medical grade ones. And I found this kid called Joe, who he had a medical grade hand, but he didn't like it. It was too scary, too bulky or metallic, and so he threw it away and put it in the bin because it was too scary for him. But then later on, he was watching Star Wars with his dad, and he saw how the main character, Luke Skywalker, has got like a robot hand. He thought how cool it would be to have like a robot hand. So his dad started reaching out, seeing if anyone would make him like a prosthetic hand from this Enable company. And so I saw him and was like, I can make a hand for you. So we've been messaging back and forth, and we came up with a design that kind of looks like one of the characters, C-3PO's arm, and so I've been making that. But he's actually, because we've been talking, he's thinking he's going to get one. So I've been recommending him 3D printers so that when his son grows out of that one, he can print him a new one that actually fits. But for now, that I'm going to be the one who's providing his son this new arm.
So you should, actually, I should have brought the arm with me. He's like grabbing things around the house. Mom, do you want a drink? Snatch. I'm like, oh, is it? Yeah. You know, he's like going, oh, Mom, that's because it's a child's hand. Oh, no, I can't. That mug's too big. You know, all this kind of thing. It's incredible. But you know what? That gift has always been in him. And it could have stayed in his bedroom. But you know what? As a family now, because Regan reached out, we're now connected to a family that we've actually never met. His name's Joe. And he was afraid Do you know, actually, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says this about fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Amen. And you know, when you reach out, we've not spoken to Joe or his dad about God, but we've shown him. We've shown him, and this little boy who used to be afraid, who didn't actually like who he was, is now apparently telling all his friends at school he can't wait for his new arm. They think he's so cool, and now this boy is actually confident in his and who he is. And honestly, as a family, we're praying for them. And Regan is, he's 15. Some of us, we think, I'm so young. How can I do it? But you know what? Age is no barrier. Some of us have got to, you know, later on in our years, and we think the best years are behind us. Do you know, I've been looking at Nelson Mandela's story over the last few weeks. And do you know what? Thank the Lord, because I'm South African, I genuinely mean his story shaped my life. And so thank the Lord that at 70-odd, he didn't think his best years were gone, because it was at that age he became president. So some of us are writing it off going, do you know what? That's history. That's for another generation. No, at 70-odd, he became president and actually shaped a nation for the better. At 15, a little boy came out of his bedroom, reached out, and now he's emailing back and forth to Joe's father, and he's recommending a 3D printer, and he's teaching his father. So as the boy gets older, he'll be able to print bigger and bigger arms. Don't you think that's amazing? I think that's incredible. How do you share stories? You reach out. I think sometimes we want some complex answer, or we want some kind of, I don't know, maybe you need to have a degree in it. No, it's quite simple. You reach out. And you know, I kind of had this thought as I was praying. And God went, Siobhan, it's literally as simple as 1, 2, 3. I was like, oh, okay, please don't make me do maths now in my prayer time. This is quite a pressure. I mean, Siobhan, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. So I was like, okay, I'm listening. And so I want to share something with you that has actually helped me, and I didn't realize it, over the years, growing in my obedience when God says, go out. Because you know what? We think we can be here, and we go, yeah, go out. But when God kind of prompts you, you're like, was that you, Lord? Was that, sorry, I didn't hear because of the busyness of the world. And so I want to encourage you, as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, ask. 2, listen. And 3, reveal. And you know, as I kind of had this, I looked all through the Bible, and you know, this is a principle that Jesus used. He asked questions, he listened, and then he revealed himself. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. We need to ask questions. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, they're going to think I'm prying. Do you know, a friend of mine, actually, he spent a week living rough, living on the streets as part of a charity to bring focus to how difficult it is to be homeless. And so for 5 days, he literally slept on the streets in Manchester. They had no food, no phone, no money. And afterwards, we asked them what was the most difficult thing, and thinking it would be maybe the vulnerability at night, thinking it would be cold, all those kind of things. He said, Siobhan, the hardest thing was being in a crowd and being invisible. That I was with many people, but nobody wanted to speak to me. Nobody wanted to ask me a question. He said it was the loneliest place to be. Some, we can look at a crowd and think, oh, we're all here together. But you know what? It can be lonely in a crowd. And somebody's just waiting for you to ask them a question. Because you know what it does when you ask them a question? It tells them that you see them. And more importantly, it tells them that God sees them. Do you know, a friend of mine, well, she's kind of my adopted grandmother. I adore the lady. And I went to somebody else's house and had a bunch of flowers and some biscuits. And I was like, okay. And then just as I was about to get in, God went, don't give them the flowers. I was like, are you kidding? You've just seen me rush to the shops to buy the flowers and the biscuits. He went, no, give them the biscuits, but don't give them the flowers. So I was like, okay, put the flowers in the thing. Okay, come. You know, off we go. And I give them the biscuits, thinking about their flowers dying in my car now, but no worries. And then as I was about to go home and I was driving past my grandmother's house, he said, those flowers you bought, they're for her. Now stop. And so I stopped, and she opened the door. And as she opened the door, she'd actually fallen about half an hour previously, and her eye was completely black. And she said, Siobhan, those flowers aren't from you. They're from God to tell me he sees me. He sees you. And that's what it means when you ask and you listen. He reveals. Jesus does it all the time. I want to read to you from Luke 2, 46 to 49. So it says, After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone heard him, was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been searching anxiously for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" For me, this story so simply shows that Jesus asked questions, he listened, and he revealed. So his mom's like, "Why? What are you doing here?" This is a question. He says, "Why were you worried?" And then he reveals, he reestablishes. Don't forget, I'm the Son of God. Honestly, there's so many stories. Once you start to look through that lens of ask, listen, reveal, he does it all the time. He does it with the rich young ruler. He does it with the Samaritan woman. So he goes to a well. The disciples go buy food, and he meets a Samaritan woman. And he, guess what? He asks her a question. "Can I have a drink? Would you pour me a drink?" She then asks him a question. She says, "Well, you know, who are you? You're Jew. I'm someone. We shouldn't be talking. You know, you don't even have anything to pour with a drink." So the question here is all about thirst. And then he reveals that he's living water, that actually he reveals who he is, that if you come to me, you'll never be thirsty again. Ask, listen, and allow God to reveal who he is to those that you're speaking to. Honestly. So I believe one of the barriers to sharing stories is fear. And so when it says in 2 Timothy that he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, we need to be bravely obedient. We need to be bravely obedient. I want to tell you a story. It makes me sound like a weirdo. I'm aware of that, so we'll just skip past it. But I was at the cinema with a friend watching a movie about choirs, and I took her because I knew she liked choirs, and I thought this would be fun. But actually, the movie is about a lady who's battling cancer, and she joins a community choir, and very sadly, halfway through the movie, she dies, and then her husband, who hated the choir and thought it was just ridiculous, feels that actually to complete what his wife has started, he joins the community choir. And so there are moments of funniness because, you know, he has to overcome himself and all that kind of stuff. And in the middle of the movie, just towards the end, there is a gentleman sitting right in front of me, just to the right. And all of a sudden, my focus stops being on the movie and it's now on this gentleman. And I am just caught at the fact that he is sobbing. I mean, really crying. And I believe that God revealed to me his grief. And for a moment, my heart was stricken with the most incredible grief that I have never experienced. And now I'm crying, not because of the film, but because of this gentleman in front of me, because God has given me a glimpse of what he's carrying. And I'm just overwhelmed. And then the film ends and all the credits starts coming up. And I hear this, "Touch him and bless him." I was like, "Jesus, was that you? That cannot have been you." Because I'm a married woman, and that sounds weird. Go and touch him and bless him. So I'm like kind of arguing. I'm sure that wasn't God. No. And then I hear it again. "Touch him and bless him." So I'm like, I'm still arguing with God, but this moment is passing. And so I just say to my friend, "I'll be back." And then I start to chase I know. This man, I know. Do you know when you're in school and kids are running down the corridor and teachers shout, "Don't run, walk," okay? And then they do this like weird walky thing that like, so it's almost like they're paralyzed from the waist up. So it's like, I'm just walking, I am. But the legs are going and like, we all know that you're running. This is my posture. So I'm like, I'm just chasing this man, don't really know what to do. And then I start to think, maybe if I bump into him, I can go, oh, bless you. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, I'm now pushing the elderly over in public. This cannot be good. So I'm like, okay, maybe I don't push him. What else have you got, Lord? Come on, because I want to be obedient, but what else have we got? And then I realize I'm about to follow him into the men's. So like genuinely, he opens the door. I'm about to go, oh, men's toilet, not for me. Okay, so come back. Now I'm going, okay, he's bought me some time. What am I going to do? And then I realize there's a coffee shop right next to the cinema. Now, depending on where you are with God, you may think this is luck, or you may think this is God making a way. But the movie has just kicked out, and there's not one person in the coffee shop. So I literally go in, and I don't drink coffee. So I just like, make me a coffee. And they're like, what kind of coffee? I don't know. Just one that you make a lot, okay? So he makes the coffee. I pay for it. And as God is my witness, the moment I step out of the coffee shop, the man passes me by. And I put my hand on his shoulder, and I say, be blessed. And I give him the coffee. He takes his glasses off, and he starts to cry, and he says, that was so kind. Thank you. And then he goes. And my friend joins me, and then I proceed to tell her what has just happened. Do you know, afterwards, I thought, I should have told him about Jesus. I should have told him that on a Sunday we have a gathering. I should have given my number. And God said, no. Every touch leaves an impression. And I just needed him to know that I'm kind. And you know, if God loves that man enough to arrest me in the middle of a cinema and to tell me to touch him and bless him, I'm pretty confident that there'll be other people in his life that God will bring and complete the story. Every touch leaves an impression. Honestly, it does. And I think we think, oh, when it comes to the big share, I'll do that, Jesus. I'm not going to do that little thing. You know, I'm not into the, you know, I have a busy day. You know what it's like? I'm hectic. I've got this. And all that kind of stuff goes on. But you know what? The truth is, if you're not obedient with the small, you will never be obedient with the big. You really won't, because the small is as much for you as it is for them. Because it's the small touch that they need that constantly reminds them, God is here, God is here. You know, it's that bittersweet. They may need a reminder of the things of God. Do you know, I wonder how often God's people said, let's not panic, because remember, he parted the sea. Let's not panic. Remember, he made the bitter water sweet. Let's not panic, because we've been here before. That's the power of a story to remind us. When I needed a touch of kindness, he brought it. Let's not panic. So the small touches are a conversation that God's having with his people, but it's him building you. It's him building you steps of obedience of, okay, no, I'm going to remember that the time he told me and I was weird and I had to, it worked out fine. The guy was happy. He was, you know, okay. Do you remember when we reached out to a family we didn't know? It worked out well. What it does is it builds your confidence in the power of God. It builds your confidence in that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And honestly, the next series, in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. This is a growing conversation. We are equipping to go out and to be more like Jesus and to tell people about the love of God. It all matters. Every touch leaves an impression. You know, some people just say to me, Siobhan, I don't know what cinema you go to or what coffee you drink, but I don't have those kind of experiences. It just, I don't know, maybe my coffee shop's different. Maybe, you know, what I'm drinking is different. I just don't have that experience. Now, I'm going to read this very carefully because I am renowned for saying words incorrectly. and they have got me into trouble. So I'm going to read this word so that I don't mispronounce it and it's not recorded and then remembered it forever. So what I'm going to talk to you about is something called RAS, R-A-S, and it's called Reticular Activation System. It's a filtering system. I'm not even going to say the word again. Hallelujah. We got through it once. Okay. So it's called RAS, R-A-S, and it's a filtering system. So basically, every day you get thousands and thousands of stimulus, of information coming to you through your eyes, through what you hear, through what you smell, through what you touch, through what you sense. Honestly, we get so much information every second. And if your brain absorbed all that, honestly, you would have like misfire all the time. But your brain can't absorb it all. And so this filtering system, what it does is it gets rid of what's unimportant and it keeps what's important. And that filtering system is based on what you believe. And so it allows you, through all the information you get rid of some stuff and to keep some stuff. And the stuff you keep generally supports your belief that you already have. That's why it's so important about what you believe, because what you're seeing the world through is that lens. And so I don't know about you, but about a year ago, maybe not quite so long ago, I needed to buy a new car. And my son and my daughter-in-law have a Mini. And they were like, Siobhan, why don't you buy a Mini? We really like the car. I hadn't even thought about it, to be honest. So I was like, okay. So I bought a Mini. And I don't know what happened, but they must have been having a sale or something. But the day I bought a Mini, everybody had a Mini. I was driving home on the motorway. I was like, one Mini, two Mini. Like, where have all these Minis come from? Has there been a mass sale? Because I don't think I got a good deal. Because everybody's got a Mini. But because now it was on my radar, now I saw it everywhere. And I want to say to you, those when you say, Siobhan, I just don't have the same opportunities that you do. If you start to wake up every morning and say, God, would you show me how I could listen and reveal you? That's the question. God, would you reveal to me? I'm asking you to reveal to me where I can be used today. And I'm telling you now, that filtering system, it will start to pop. I can tell them that. I can reveal Jesus here. And it doesn't have to be massive, because it is small steps of obedience that grows you and grows other people. You know, in Philippians it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, what anything excellent or praiseworthy, focus on that. Wouldn't that be great if we woke up every day and, Lord, let me see. Let me see the sweet story. I want to have a good report. You know, one of the most powerful vehicles we have as a church community is community groups, because they're a great forum to actually share stories and have your story be written in others and ask questions and listen and encourage one another and build one another up. Honestly, they're such an important vehicle. I would say it is so crucial that we as a church start to get in that vehicle with a sole purpose in mind, that, you know what, we're going to grow each other and we're going to become more like Jesus and we're going to do the things that Jesus did. We're going to encourage. We're going to be bold. We're going to be brave. We're going to walk in the authority that Jesus has given us. This is the vehicle, I believe, of community groups. And we're going to watch a video now in a moment about a community group that we currently run here. It's actually in our coffee house postcode. It runs in the morning, on a Monday morning, and it runs on a Wednesday evening. But this is simply people gathering around a common interest, but using the opportunity to ask questions, to listen to one another, and to reveal God. And so honestly, if you want to know more about community groups, please go on our website. You can email us if you want to know more information, how you can be involved in one. Perhaps God is prompting you that actually you need to lead something in your community. Come and honestly email us. We would love to have a coffee with you and explore that conversation, because this is a growing conversation.